Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Joanna Paxinu and you're listening to At the Movies with Joanna. And today we are very happy to have with us a very special guest. His name is Daniel Pace. He is the writer, director, executive producer of an extraordinary film called The Appearance of a Man. This is an independent film. It has won several awards for outstanding film, for best actor, for best director, best feature, best cinematography, and it was just recently shown at the Sedona International Film Festival. And you may not know, but over 900 films were submitted to the festival, and only 150 were chosen. And The Appearance of a Man was one of those chosen. It's an extraordinary film, and I urge everyone, when you can, to see it. It is thought-provoking, it is very different, and we're very happy to have with us today the director and writer and creator of this marvelous film, Daniel Pace. Daniel, welcome to Sedona Talk Radio.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. As I said, this was an extraordinary film, very thought-provoking. And as I've said, you can see it three or four times and walk away with different meanings. And first of all, I wanted to ask you the inspiration of the Phoenix Lights for this film. Could you tell us about how those lights, what they were, and how they influenced you to do this movie?
Yeah, you know, March 13, 1997, there were an occurrence of these lights in Phoenix. A lot of people saw these lights in the sky. And actually, to this day, I mean, there are a lot of theories about what those lights were, ranging from UFOs to military exercises and so on. And I was there at that time in Phoenix. However, I didn't see the lights, but I heard the news afterwards and all the controversy that was generated after that. So that intrigued me quite a bit. It was definitely a big mystery because there wasn't a clear answer of what it was, even though many people, you know, are sure that, you know, they were one thing or another. But there isn't any tangible proof. So I started looking into it, and not just from the point of view of what happened in Phoenix, but also similar situations like this where lights appear in the sky throughout the world. And I started doing a lot of research about it. And then I talked to people, I talked to witnesses, I started receiving, you know, hundreds of emails of people that have witnessed lights like this around the world. And then I started looking into something else, that it wasn't just the lights, but some people were reporting and telling me stories about contact, that something else happened while the lights were in the sky and, something on the ground, actually. And, you know, when you hear things like this, you know, you're definitely, you're skeptical. Your first reaction is, well, you know, what really is it that you saw, or who do you really talk to, or who do you had contact with? But then after, you know, several interviews that I had with people that that experienced this kind of contact and experienced these lights, I started looking for, there was some common denominator in all these stories. And it was something mystical or of a kind of a spiritual experience that these people were experiencing. And also, along with this contact that they were reporting with, you know, you can call it alien, angel, anything, an entity, there was a message behind it. It wasn't just a contact, but there was something behind it that started to attract me. And with all this information, I started building the story of The Appearance of a Man. And I went further and I started looking in history and even in the Bible itself. And I started seeing that there are, you know, a lot of passages in the Bible that talk about this type of lights in the sky and appearances. Actually, the name of the movie comes from Daniel 8:15, where he talks about the appearance of a man. And he doesn't describe this man as human, but something maybe like an angel. So that's where the name derives from. So that's basically was the you know, the inspiration for writing this story.
That's very interesting. Very interesting. It sounds like you've been on a special spiritual journey yourself.
Well, you know, this is something that intrigued me a lot, and sometimes, you know, you figure that when something intrigues you, it's because you find something that interested in it, or, you know, something that appeals to you for a particular reason, I guess, and that's why we write a particular story, right? And definitely, you know, there are many, many ways to look at this phenomenon, you know.
Yes.
And I chose to look at it. I kind of went completely the opposite direction, you know, in regard to the theories about the Phoenix Lights. And I went to explore it from a mystical and a spiritual point of view. And, you know, that, and then the movie is basically the result of that.
Yes. Well, it's a fascinating movie, and as I've said before, it's very thought-provoking. It goes very deep and makes you think about a lot of things. I was interested about how you selected your cast for the movie, especially Michael Tassoni, who won an award as Best Actor as a lead role in your film. Did you have open auditions? Did you know who you wanted to play these parts? How did you go about casting your film?
Yeah, the movie, you know, the film is an independent film, so it was done with very low budget. And, you know, I decided, you know, from the beginning that I was going to work with actors from Arizona, because I previously made another movie here, and I knew, you know, quite a few actors. But we did have an audition, and actually we had, I don't know, close to 400 people perhaps coming to the audition. And so we had a very good selection of actors and to choose from. And Michael working, I known Michael Tassoni for a long time, and he worked in another film with me, and so I knew that he could do this part very well, you know, the part of the character of the priest in the film.
Yes. Yes, he did an excellent job.
Yeah, I think he really he understood the character. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about the character and the psychology of this character. The movie is a movie that can, you know, you're walking on a very thin line to become very unbelievable. So I had to keep everything within a context that if you will watch this film, even though there are very paranormal, you know, situations in the film, that it's all within the realm of reality, at least the reality that I tried to create in the film, you know. So Michael understood that, and we casted him. Well, he basically was working with me as a producer, so we kind of, you know, been working together beyond the acting, you know, with Michael. And then you know, the other three main characters are exceptional actors from Arizona as well. They've done a lot of theater here. One is Tom Basham.
Yes.
That plays the part of Father Daniel, an old priest.
Yeah, very interesting actor.
Yeah, he has, you know, Tom has this something in his eyes that comes from very deep inside.
Yes.
And he doesn't have to do much, you know, for you to capture that, to see that coming from his eyes. He's a very, very interesting actor. He's also a very spiritual man. Slay Hall, that plays the man who appeared.
Yes. Very interesting actor.
Yeah, yeah, he's a very good actor, and he's the kind of actor that after you film and you see it on the screen, it's you go like, wow, you know, he gives you a lot more than you see when you're actually filming. It's really amazing. There are some actors that you know, on the
yes.
screen appear even larger. And,
that's very true.
Yeah.
He does
and
have
of course,
a certain
you know,
charisma on the screen. You're right.
He does.
Yes.
And we planned the film. I planned it from a directing point of view very carefully in terms of camera positions. You know, I wanted to use the camera as a tool, you know, to tell the story and enhance, you know, the mystery in each of these characters. I don't know if you noticed, but
yes.
You know, when the men who appears on the screen, you know, the angles are a little low, you know, just to magnify
yes.
him a little bit, you know. And it was funny because somebody at the festival that saw Slade said, "Oh my gosh, I thought he was like, you know, 6'2" or, you know, a very tall man. He's actually very normal height." So
yes.
I guess that you know, that worked in some sense. Richard Glover is also an exceptional actor. He's done a lot of theater in town and actually throughout the United States. He plays the part of the Vietnam vet and several other actors that are really, really excellent. So Arizona, I think, you know, it has a very good pool of actors, you know.
Excellent. They were very good.
Yeah, and very easy to work with, I mean, for the most part. I mean, especially in a production that has very little resources, you know, we have very small crew, you know, that puts a stress on the actor because sometimes, you know, I need them to move some cables or do something, you know, so. But
collaborative effort.
Yeah, it was a team effort, really, you know,
yes.
Especially
How
shooting in the
summer. How long
did it
take you to film the movie?
The movie, the actual filming took about a year and a half. It was a very painful process because we had to shoot also in Mexico, and we shot in Tucson. You know, half of the movie was shot in Tucson, actually, instead of Phoenix, even though we made it look like Phoenix. And then the rest was shot in Phoenix. And there are some footage that we capture in Israel, in Jerusalem, actually, that is used in the final part of the film. I don't know if you probably noticed that, but there's a lot of footage there that was actually shot in Jerusalem and in Tel Aviv. That was used mainly for special effects.
I wanted to ask you, what did you feel like when the first time an audience saw the film?
You know, I knew the film was different because I, you know, my idea was to make a film that was abstract, that tried to appeal to your subconscious mind rather than your conscious level, you know, of reality. I wanted to get a little deeper. So in a way, I was experimenting, you know, with some ideas, you know, to get a little, you know, to have an effect on the audience that was not just the regular movie that, you know, you're watching a story and what happens there and, you know, it moves you, but it moves you at a conscious level. I wanted to get a little deeper. You know, the emotions in the film are not really feel-good emotions, you know, they're a different kind because I try to appeal to your inner self, you know. So I was a little scared, you know, when we first showed the film actually in San Diego, and the reaction was amazing. I mean, there were people that were truly moved, and there were some people as well that did not understand it, and people that came with the expectation that this was going to be the typical UFO movie. And perhaps they were looking for the same kind of, viewing experience that you would have in a typical UFO movie, when in reality it's a movie that goes a little deeper and
yes,
deals with the paranormal, paranormal activities. But it treats it very different. So the audiences were reacting very, very differently, but I started realizing that many people were very moved by what they were seeing.
That's understandable. It is a very moving film, and it makes you think, and it makes you go deep within yourself. I wonder
right.
if you could talk a little bit about what you would like the audience to take away from The Appearance of a Man. What would you like them to leave with?
I think, you know, there is one scene at the end when one of the characters says, you know, everybody is looking for meaning. And I truly believe that, you know, and I think people, especially, you know, today, you know, we're too busy running around, and sometimes we don't stop for a moment and realize that there are magic around us, you know, that there are signs that we don't pay attention to. And when we have issues, when we have problems, you know, we resort to books, or, you know, we go to, you know, we take on the latest trend, or we go and ask someone, a priest or a preacher, you know. And sometimes the whole premise of the film is that many of those answers are not really outside, but actually inside yourself. You know, that we need to dig a little deeper. We need to get into, you know, the subconscious mind, and let the subconscious mind, you know, give us the answers that we're looking for. And that's what the film is all about. It's not about preaching any particular ideology at all. It's actually the opposite. It's you know, the film, you know, one of the ideas that I had was to ask questions and then answer those questions with other questions and make you think about, you know, about who we are, why we're here, and, you know, all those fundamental questions that, you know, typically religions try to address. And sometimes they do it very well and sometimes don't. And I think, you know, after thousands of years of religions of all kinds, you know, we're still looking for meaning. So something is missing. And the film tries to address that in a very humble way, of course, because it's not trying to answer any questions. Actually, it's trying to provoke you into looking inside yourself.
Well, the looking inside is so important because, as you say, we are bombarded today by constant noise and sounds and visuals and television sets and cars and cell phones and faxes. We don't have a minute's peace. And it's so important to take that quiet time to
exactly.
think and to go within.
Exactly, exactly. Either in the form of meditation or prayer or something that puts you back in contact to the essence, you know. And we live very exterior lives, you know, very, you know, if you will, materialistic lives too, you know. And I think balance is always a good thing, but sometimes we rely too much on the exterior. And we completely shut off, you know, something that is being there all the time, that is intuition and things like that. And we even doubt our own intuitions because we think, well, you know, that's not rational. That's, you know, it's intuition. What is that? But there is a connection, I believe, you know, with our subconscious mind and what's beyond that we don't exercise today, you know, and it's not being taught either. You know, it's almost hidden from us, you know, and that's what the film tries to address, you know, to look inside.
I agree with that, and we are not encouraged to look inside, and that's so important. I also like what you said, that there's magic all around us, and I think to see that magic or to feel that magic, we do have to take time to go within.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, you know, the character in the film, you know, it's not something that just happens to him. It's a process, you know. It's almost like learning how to read or how to talk, you know. It's a process that we need to learn how to talk to ourselves inside, you know. And it's not something that you can just read in a book and, you know, do 1, 2, 3 and this is how you do it. It's a
yeah.
process, and I think everybody has to find their own voice inside. And I really believe that you can find a lot of answers that way.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And it's something that more of us should do, and more often. And that's another aspect of the film, The Appearance of a Man, that leads people to look within, which is so important, such a valuable lesson today.
Yeah.
So tell us, what are your plans for the film? What's next for the film?
Well, the film, you know, like a typical independent film with no name actors, you know, we've been very, very lucky to get into several festivals, you know, getting into festivals, like you mentioned before, You know, there are hundreds of films being submitted to festivals. So just to get into a festival and show the film to an audience is complicated and difficult. So we've been lucky that, you know, several festivals have been showing the film, and we even played in Europe, in Monaco, which was another incredible experience because it's a different audience in many ways. And perhaps even more receptive to this kind of films than in the United States. So the experience has been amazing in that sense. And so we are planning now, we are actually talking to distributors right now. We may launch the film theatrically in Arizona and move it to other states, and eventually we'll be in DVD. So far, you know, for the few next months, we're going to be playing in festivals, and probably we'll announce soon, you know, if when we're going to do the theatrical release in Phoenix and the rest of some of the towns in Arizona. That will be our launching start. Yeah. So,
well,
it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, I can see, but let us know when it's going to be launched in movie houses. We'll be happy to let our audience know about that. What are some of the festivals you're going to next?
So we are going to be playing in Syracuse International Film Festival in Syracuse, New York, sometime, I believe it's at the end of April. April 5th, we're going to play in Cairo, Egypt. And we have a couple more festivals, but I can't tell you the festival because they haven't announced. So, you know, it'll be in our website pretty soon, as soon as they announce it. Festivals want to keep a secret until, you know, they have all the lineup. But those are the two festivals we're going to play right away, in the next month or two.
Great. And what other projects, what's your next project after the appearance of A Man?
So I'm working on actually two different projects that are still in development. One that has to do with dreams. In a way, it's a bit along the lines of The Appearance of A Man. It's also a mystery. But it has to do with dreams and the significance of dreams and it's actually a love story. It's a very interesting story that we're developing. Another story that is moves away from the appearance of a man in terms of the mystical and spiritual aspects of it, that has to do with the what's going on in Mexico right now with the drug cartel and the unbelievable killing that is happening. So the film takes on. Yeah, so that particular film takes on you know, it's more of a look into the savagery, you know, into what's going on and how is that may affect, you know, our lives eventually, you know. So those are the two projects that I'm working on.
Well, they both sound, I mean, they're both very interesting and very different.
Very
that
different,
you have
yes.
Such,
yes. Yeah. Diversity is always good, you know.
Well, diversity is always good, yes. And the dream sounds very interesting.
Yeah, the dream is actually a very interesting story that I think it plays if you like The Appearance of a Man, I think you're going to like definitely that one because it's along the lines of The Appearance of a Man in terms of, you know, exploring, you know, other realms of existence or, you know, different realities, you know, which are the dreams in this case.
Very interesting. And will you be writing the scripts for both projects?
For the Mexican drug cartel film, I'm writing it myself, and the other one I'm collaborating with another writer.
So which project would you be working on next, the dreams or the drug cartels?
I think the drug cartel is going to be next because it's almost very, very close to be done. And the dream is going to probably take, you know, a few more months to complete. But so that's my thinking right now.
with the drug cartel movie, will you be filming at the Mexican border?
You know, it's a very dangerous movie to shoot.
It is, yes.
We've been advised basically not to shoot in Mexico.
Yes.
I've been in contact with members of the police in Mexico, and it's a very dangerous film to shoot, and it's probably going to be completely shot in the United States with a lot of, you know, shots done in Mexico and then, you know, using green screen or, you know, some effect techniques, you know, to make it look like it's actually Mexico. But the situation right there, even in towns where there are no issues, I mean, it's dangerous, very dangerous.
I understand that. It is very dangerous. And may I ask why you feel the need to do a film about the drug cartels? What draws you to that?
I think it what's going on deals a lot with a concept that I always found very fascinating, which is, you know, the idea of the powerful eating the weak, the survival of the species in a way, you know, and where there is no law, basically, and men are let, you know, to do basically whatever they want, you know, there's complete freedom, you know, without any law of any kind, because, you know, the corruption level. And it's fascinating what happens when you have a situation like that, the incredible desire for power and money that motivates, you know, and drives people to these levels of you know, almost animal desires of destroying each other. So for me, you know, it's that's what attracts me is trying to understand, you know, what happens when you let the human being completely free, with absolutely no restrictions, with no law and no, you know, no moral values of any kind, you know, what do we turn into? So that's one of the motivations why I was attracted to write about that more than the violence itself. I mean, definitely the film will have a lot of violence, but it digs into that, you know, into that premise of, you know, of complete, you know, animalistic, you know, nature of that we have.
Well, we are at the close of our interview. I could go on talking indefinitely, and we so look forward to your other projects. And if anyone needs any more information, can you give us the website where they can find out more about your work?
Yeah, it's www.theappearanceofamen.com. No spaces, and it's just the whole all together, theappearanceofamen.com. And there's also an email there, so that if they want to email me with questions or anything, they can do it.
That would be great. Well, thank you so much, Daniel, for being with us today, Daniel Pace. And let us know when The Appearance of the Man will be premiered. We'd love to follow up with you on that and keep us posted with your other work. That sounds incredibly interesting. Thank you so much for your time, Daniel.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
My pleasure. And thank you to our listeners. You've been listening to At the Movies with Joanna. And this is Joanna Paxinu saying, that's a wrap.
All right.